This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's a busy hour. Des Fitzpatrick, outstanding wide receiver for Louisville, coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. And at the bottom of the hour, Brian Kelly, the head football coach of Notre Dame, is scheduled to make his debut as well in about a half an hour. Wes, I had mentioned earlier, I received a package yesterday, and I kind of showcased it earlier because we made comparisons to it and the size of the Coca-Cola bottle on Dabo Swinney's desk. And I figured right now, since we have some time before Des joins us, to open it up. And I have a feeling I know what this is, especially after I saw where it came
from.
I do
too, because we were supposed to get something.
Right.
So, right?
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
Is there a note in there? I don't know if there's a note. All right, now, again, we had Aaron Mattson on, the greatest of all time, UNC field hockey. And I told Aaron, when we had her, that I had the first national championship field hockey stick that Coach Shelton sent to us, which we appreciated. And I said, we need the back-to-back. And so she goes, oh, no problem. So I'm going to hook up with Coach. And so sure enough, Aaron hooks up with Karen, and we get a delivery. And it's good, man. This is one of those double wrapped ones. It's like U.S. Open stuff, like West Durham getting that new driver for Christmas. Look at that. There it is.
Wow. Turn that around. Is it monogrammed? Is it personalized on the other side?
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
2019 NCAA National Champs, 23-0. Believe it, do it, earn it. How about that? So we got now the matching set. North Carolina field hockey. So thank you very much to Coach Shelton, Aaron Mattson, getting the job done. You know what this means, though, Wes?
Man.
Got the double itch thing going on. Man, this is perfect. The ultimate back scratch, man. You sit here working hours after hours, radio and TV, and you can't quite get that itch. Chester and Fuller are sound asleep on the back. This is when I thank the North Carolina field hockey team. But those are sweet. Those are really nice. They will go great here in the basement.
The most accomplished back scratchers you've ever had.
Those are nice. I mean, that's big time, man. Those are really cool. I like it. And I like the believe it, do it, earn it. It's kind of like our deal,
kind of
right?
Our motto.
Yeah, pull up a chair. Mm-hmm. Farm rich.
Eat a snack.
Yeah,
grab
rich.
A snack.
Send us a snack. Now we get Coca-Cola on board.
Grab
you a
snack.
Coke. Thank you very much.
Pull up a chair. Grab a snack. Believe it. Do it. Earn it.
Wait a minute. There is a note in here. Oh, hold on. See,
oh, jeez.
That's why I always look for the note. You know, and listen, when you were hanging out with me in the basement, you would always want to open up the stuff. I'm like, you can have the stuff. I mean, you can do that. I want to see the note because I like writing handwritten notes. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's it.
Wait a minute.
So what do we got?
Oh. No, Fuller. You can't chew that.
Might be from Karen Shelton. Might be from
Carolina Field
Aaron
Hockey.
Mattson. You never know.
Carolina Field Hockey.
Okay. It's a good start.
Karen Shelton. She says, okay, guys. Now you can play a little one-on-one. Thanks for all the coverage. You both are the best. Go ACC. Karen Shelton. Handwritten note. Again, you can't – let me just tell you, it's a lost art, the handwritten note. For all you young people out there, forget the text. It's a handwritten note. It's important. So we appreciate that very much. We really do. Let's definitely showcase that. Excellent.
Yeah. There you go.
Fuller. You can't
choose.
Hold on. I'm going to put these on the desk because I'm afraid Fuller is like,
away from
man,
the dogs.
That's a good-looking stick. Yeah, you can't have these, big boy. Sorry. Sorry, Fuller.
Jeez.
Gosh. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Good. Thank you to Karen Shelton. By the way, we got a women's soccer doubleheader for you tomorrow night right here on ACC Network as the fall sports schedule gets into full swing. And looking forward to potentially seeing field hockey on this channel as well. moving forward. We are waiting on Des Fitzpatrick. We hope to get him on. Brian Kelly will join us bottom of the hour. One of the things that I think is interesting is just kind of how week one to week two is going to go. Pack. Maybe we got some time tomorrow. We can talk about, you know, the old coaching adage we mentioned earlier, improving from week one to week two. Even if you're Clemson and you look like you played a half dozen games, you probably still got something to do. We talked to Pat Narduzzi earlier. Clearly he has something to do too.
Yeah, there's not a single team in the ACC, there's not a single team in the country that took inventory after their first game and said, hey, we're a complete finished product. No way. Especially after no springs, no summers, and a disjointed fall at best. And it's going to take a while. I had a couple interviews yesterday with guys that really know football that said, hey, it may be three or four games, best case scenario, till you really see what a team can look like. And, you know, talking to Sam Howell yesterday, and we just played that for you, you know, he even said, hey, we got to shake the rust off a little bit, and they can certainly be better. But I know one thing, Wes. The next dude that we're getting ready to talk to, he's making his debut, and this is a team, much like North Carolina. Boy, when they have the football, you better sit down and get ready because they're going to score. And they are explosive and fun. And Des Fitzpatrick now joins us, the outstanding wide receiver, one of many at Louisville. Des, first of all, congratulations on getting to the season, getting started. I know you guys have worked incredibly hard, lots of expectations, but it had to be a blast to showcase your skills this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely just fun, you know, going through everything in the off season, you know, going through not knowing if we were going to be able to play, you know, just all the protocols. And it was definitely worth it going out there last weekend and showing what we can do.
Des, on this program, we do a segment called Wide Receiver U, and your catch won this week's event, so congratulations. We don't have any parting gifts or any certificates or anything like that, but you're the winner of week one, Wide Receiver U.
Well, first I want to thank all of Car Nation and L1C4, you know, but just not for real. That's awesome that Wide Receiver U, that catch won that, you know. That's awesome.
All right, I want to show you the catch because I got some real questions out of this, okay?
Okay.
it's the long touchdown that you caught from McHale, and Mark and I watched this highlight a couple times each of the last 2 days, and we have now identified a young man of your who was playing for Western Kentucky who I think thought he was going to have a pick on this play. And as a result, he didn't get a pick because he didn't play the ball. He was waiting on the pick. And it looks like – now, Pat, correct me if I'm wrong. It looks like Des raced right into his frame and just took the ball. And my man – I've even looked up his name. Antoine Kincaid is the defensive back, who's a senior, by the way, bless his heart.
Right.
And he looked like he was going to make the play. Is that about the way you saw it?
I think that's about the way everybody saw it, except for me, honestly. At the last second, I saw the ball, like, I saw the flight of the ball leave, and then I took a quick glance at the safety just to see what he was doing, and I could just tell by his demeanor, his body, that he was waiting for the ball to come down, and then, you know, I was like, oh, okay. Just step in front and catch it right quick and keep running, you know. I was talking to a bunch of my coaches, a bunch of my teammates about it, and, you know, everybody was like, bro, everybody just turned around like, oh, it's a pick, oh, it's a pick. Like, they just dropped their head, and then they looked up, and I'm running. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know. It just all happened so fast.
Hey, Des, I think the poor guy from Western Kentucky, he didn't realize he didn't have the ball till you're about 5 yards downfield. I mean, it's just it was such an automatic that was going to land in his hands that he just could not believe that he didn't have it and you were off to the races for a touchdown.
No, it was funny because even in the middle of the play, like, I heard, like, a cuss word go out of somebody's mouth. I don't know if it was 24 or 31, but right when I caught the ball, I heard somebody say, bleep. I was laughing while I was running. It was kind of funny.
And here's the big boy. He was running late to get the net up, but everybody was caught off guard on that whole play. But like you said, it just had to feel good to play, though. I mean, because you guys, and this is true for everybody in college football, I mean, in the middle of the summer, there was a lot of doubt of whether or not we even play games. And you guys have all put in the work. And that's like for the Big Ten kids. I hope they have a chance to play because they've done the work too. And, You just don't want to see that taken away. And now all of a sudden you get a chance to play and you realize that, hey, man, you've got to embrace all 60 minutes and take it all in because you just never know. Next week's not given.
Definitely, 1,000%. You know, I feel for the seniors, especially, you know, with the Big Ten and those guys who don't get an opportunity for their last shot. But hopefully something turns around. You know, I saw Joe Burrow make a tweet that said, like, you know, if this happened a year ago last year, you know, I wouldn't be in the situation that I am right now. So, right. I mean, that just speaks volumes of what that could happen and what opportunities that people are missing. And, you know, I'm just blessed that we kept playing. We kept practicing even when the doubt was happening. And we stayed ready. And so, you know, we're ready for this week.
Dez, you've been through, I mean, it's, I know you're a senior, but I think of you as an older guy because it's seemingly you've played a lot of football at Louisville over the last few years. And here's the part, I guess, when you go through the changes that you've been through and older guys like yourself have been through with that program, coming back to this unknown would, at least in my mind, that's not quite as uncertain for you as a coaching change or all the other things you've been through, because you're being told what to do in order to play, right? I mean, the unknown of Scott Satterfield a year ago might seem far more stark than just, oh, by the way, we've got to go through this process and this protocol in order just to have a season.
Right. I mean, it is crazy, but, you know, at the same time, it is the love of the game. You know, I came here to play football. I came to Louisville to bring an ACC championship, a national championship to this university. So, coming back for that wasn't, you know, it was like a no-brainer. You know, I felt like I had unfinished business here at the university. And like you mentioned, I've been through so much, I just didn't want to leave, you know, the university at the point.
All right, let's,
I know our ceiling is very high, so.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Dez, but let's talk about this week. This is a big game. It's the biggest game in college football this weekend. And I don't need to remind you what happened last year because Miami got on you guys pretty good down there in South Florida last year. And you just get a sense with the way the ACC structured this year, if the goal is to get to Charlotte, then this needs to be a W. And you both feel that way. Miami knows that. You guys know that. You also understand that the quality of the opposition is going to be totally different this week. There's real athletes on that defensive side. I know you've been watching tape. What kind of problems does Miami present to you as a wide receiver going into the game Saturday night?
You know, not really much problems, but we just there's things that we got to look for, obviously. You know, the pass rush is going to be there. They're going to be a man team, press man team at that. So the outsides have to win. The outside receivers are going to have to win. You know, that's the biggest thing for us. We're working a lot on just getting off a jam, getting off a press, and working those intermediate routes and working on deep balls. But, you know, if everybody on the offense and the defense plays as one, plays together, does their 1/11th, then I feel like, you know, the sky's the limit for us. And this isn't really much of a revenge game for us. This is just if we all do our assignment, then we know what this football team can do. We know what this football team is capable of. So we're just excited. We're grinding Tuesday practice, Wednesday practices, and, you know, we're just going out there and we're about to put on a show.
Des, what is it about this particular team? Where's the growth point from a year ago and the success and the turnaround to this team? What's that next step or maybe a characteristic about this team we need to know about?
Just resilience. You know, we've been through so much last year just with the new coaching staff, the 2 years before that, you know, the season that we had. So we know what we are capable of. We've been in the system for a year now. I think everybody's kind of, you know, getting comfortable. You know, I didn't even realize this, but a defensive player told me this is the first time that he's had a defensive coordinator back-to-back seasons, the same defensive coordinator back-to-back seasons. So, I mean, that just caught my eye. I'm like, wow, like, you guys were kind of just, you know. So I just feel like everybody's more comfortable in the situation that they're in the scheme and the playbook that we're in. So I feel like, you know, I think everything's good.
Dez, if you were a defensive player, all right, so get your mindset right before I ask you this question. You are a defensive absolute, man, you're the guy. How would you attack Louisville's offense? Do you take, what are you trying to take away from, because you guys have so many weapons. If I allowed you to be the defensive mastermind, and you've got great players, all right? You're coming to the table with great players. What would you try to take away from Louisville first?
First, one thing I would probably do. You know, I'm not going to give away our kryptonite.
No, I get that. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm asking you, though.
Of course. First thing I would probably do is take away number one, the fastest man on the field. I would probably try to take away Tutu Atwell. If I was, you know, I would try to get him out of his game and then make the other players play. I would stuff the box and make the other players play and double team Tutu.
Hold on. You want somebody to take away Tutu, so Seven gets the rock more. I know what you're talking about. You want somebody to take Tutu out, so you get the rock. Hey, don't try.
I'm just staying obvious.
Feel
you on this, everybody.
Okay? Yeah.
Everybody's gonna have two people on Tutu right now.
Go cover one. Double up number one, because Seven is right over here just holding up his hand, right?
Hey, one thing about my coach always says, Coach Brug always says, if they're doubling somebody, somebody's singled up. So somebody's singled up. So so hopefully, but, you know, we have a lot of weapons, like you said. Newcomer, Braden Smith, you know, obviously he had a big game last week. You know, there's just so many weapons on this team. Obviously, our run game, we have Hassan, we have, obviously, Malik. So we just... There's so much that we can do. It's almost hard to. But if we do everything that we can do, if I was that defensive guy, I would just say, you know, we can't make any mistakes. Because if we make mistakes, then that offense is going to exploit it. So I think that's the biggest thing.
I like that answer. You know what? You guys have reached the point offensively that if you take care of your business, hey, guys, you're going to have to deal with it because you're going to score points. You're going to score.
Definitely. I mean, like you said, but first thing we got to do is take care of business, and that starts off on the practice field of preparation. And that's the biggest thing. I think we all know that on offense. That's why those Tuesdays and Wednesdays practices were out there flying around full speed, 100%, going hard. So I think that's something else that we take pride of is practicing hard.
I like it. All right, before we let you go, we ask this every student athlete. And I'm going to cringe if you answer this the way I think you might. You're a senior. The hardest class that you've had at the University of Louisville is what?
I'm not going to lie to you. Probably Spanish.
I know one of my other
teammates said that, and I didn't want to say that, but it's true. It is true. I struggle. I struggle at Spanish.
I knew it. It was going to be Spanish.
What in the world? I tell you, you know what we're going to end up doing on this show? We're going to end up getting the head of the Spanish department at the University of Louisville on this show.
Yep.
Because do you know who started the Spanish Inquisition with Packer on this question?
Was it Lamar?
It was. Lamar Jackson.
It was Lamar.
It was. I asked him on the radio, and he looked at me and goes, oh, man, Spanish, man. I can't do anything with Spanish. And he went on.
And then he left. And then he left and said, ciao.
Right. You've heard his story. And I was like, no wonder why he's having trouble. With Spanish. He's talking Italian. I don't know what it is about you guys at Louisville. It doesn't matter what the sport. It could be volleyball. It could be football. It could be soccer. It doesn't matter. Spanish has been an absolute headache. It's been
Espanol.
Yeah.
Espanol.
Right. Espanol. At least you got that part right. Lamar was chowing people.
That's it. Well, listen, adios, my man. You know what? You guys are fun to watch. I know that much. And we really appreciate the time.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Many thanks to Des Fitzpatrick. Spanish at Louisville. That it must just be
telling
the
you.
Worst, right? Goodness gracious. Yeah. But we do have some news, Wes. Breaking news.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel first to report this. ESPN's now confirmed the Big Ten's expected to announce a return to football in October. You know, they postponed the season October 11th, and the league's presidents and chancellors voted August the 11th. They're going to play in October. Some question on games, number of games. Would they start in mid-October? It's what I meant to say when I meant August 11th. They'll start mid-October. Eight straight weeks pack. Play a championship game December 19th. You're really gonna defy the odds. You're giving yourself a very narrow window to do that, but you really left yourself with no choice.
Well, it's their fault, number one. Number two, it beats not playing, so you can't complain.
That's it.
And three, and I'm just glad for the student-athletes. I mean, again, the presidents and chancellors are brilliant people and great medical folks around them to make their original decision on the 11th. They didn't understand the timing, but hey, that's your business. You do what you got to do. Right. But they've now put themselves at least in a position to compete. Now, like the Big Ten, we'll have the same issue that Greg Sankey and the SEC are addressing, and that is, can we get to the starting line? They've got next week as their kickoff. The Big Ten will be sometime in October, and good for them. I'm thrilled for their student-athletes and coaches and fans. They get a chance to play. I just hope they can get to the starting point. But once you start, the question then becomes, how long can you stand up? And to think that you can play eight straight weeks without a stubbing of the toe, I think that's kind of crazy. That's already been proven in the ACC and the Big 12 how difficult it is. But again, I'm just happy that they're going to have a chance to play. And I think at the end of the day, they've done the work. You heard it with Des Fitzpatrick just a second ago, middle of the summer. Hey, can we get there? Right? We just want to showcase all the hard work and skills and go out and entertain everybody and do our thing and do what they love to do. So I'm happy from that perspective. It's all good. I just hope they can at least start.
Yeah, so do I. I think that I got to be honest with you. The first thing I'm thinking now is, what's Larry Scott in the Pac-12 going to do, Mark? I mean, because now all of a sudden you bring a fourth Power 5 back into the league. What's the Pac-12 going to do? Because the Pac-12, we all thought, would be the first in the deep end in August. It was the Big Ten. The Pac-12 followed 6 hours later, by the way. They went the route of the Big Ten.
Well, you had Southern California players yesterday sending a letter to Governor Newsom to say, listen, could you please lift the restrictions? We want to practice. Of course, you got the fires going on. I talked to Mark Helfrich yesterday, and he's living in Oregon, and said, Pac, you would not. He said, I couldn't even see driving down the road. The conditions are so bad. So I don't even know how the folks in Oregon or Washington could even practice, much less play. Given the current status. So, again, the Pac-12, you agreed to do what you wanted to do for the interest of everybody. Yep. And if it turns out you can't play, you can't play. That's the way it works. You make decisions, you got to deal with it.
Yep.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. We've had a lot of debuts today on the show. Jeff Borzello does a great job covering college basketball for ESPN. We just had Des Fitzpatrick, great wide receiver, one of many for Louisville. And now making his debut, long awaited, the head football coach at Notre Dame, who has never lost a conference game. How about that? Never lost a conference game. He's got that going for him. Coach, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Guys, it is great to be on this show, to get the invitation in the mail from you guys to be on the long list, the waiting list to get on the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Wes, it's your turn.
So Coach Kelly, how was – and I got to tell you, I watched the ball game Saturday on television, and then I heard your post-game comments just talking about the environment at Notre Dame Stadium. And I got to tell you, I was – and Mark and I said this when it was announced that students, then faculty and staff would get the first tier and first options. I got to tell you, it made a drastic difference in the environment to which I think your team played and the way I took it in watching it on television.
No doubt, Wes. I was really pleased that we were able, first of all, to entertain our students, faculty, and staff, and certainly our players' families, because – look, those are the most important elements of creating an atmosphere for these student athletes, right? Those are the people that they go to class with. they're taught by them, and certainly their family members. So to be able to create that environment for them, and then one where it did not feel like you were playing a spring game or a inter-squad practice. It really it had the feel and the effects of a game. So really pleased with it. They did a great job.
Hey, by the way, speaking of family, and I was just taking a look at the backdrop there, over your right shoulder, that picture. What's the story with that picture?
Each year, family picture. You know, my two boys that are up at Grand Valley State, where I started my career. Mm. One of them plays football. One of them's a student assistant. My daughter, who is a junior here at Notre Dame, she got all the brains from my wife, so she got into Notre Dame. The two boys got mine, so that's why they're playing football. And then my beautiful wife. So we keep a picture and right in the office. And, you know, family's so important in this business, as you guys know. I mean, we are away from them quite a bit. So it goes obviously, you know, front and center on anything that we do.
You know, it's when all this started to kind of rewrap itself into what we now know as 2020 football, I remember you and I having a brief conversation a couple of years ago talking about the ACC and the arrangement you guys had to play the five or six opponents a year, and now all of a sudden you got 10 of them. How much transition was involved in your program from what you originally thought you were going to do maybe April, May, to what you've ended up doing in September?
Well, it's, you know, we've had a saying here, you know, ever since, you know, when we closed down, you know, and stopped spring practice, mm-hmm. in March, and had to go into, you know, Zoom meetings and, you know, reintegration and procedures and protocol, ever since that day, we have been building the plane as we fly it. There have been so many changes and so many things that we're doing that have been uncharted in terms of never been done before. So it's been shifting and changing. And quite frankly, guys, we're so grateful that Commissioner Swofford and the leadership has taken us in. We were in a tough spot, quite frankly. And to be given this opportunity to compete in the ACC has put our schedule in a great position where now we can also compete for an ACC championship and a national championship. So we're extremely grateful to the ACC.
Coach, speaking of making changes, I remember you and I had a conversation on the afternoon radio show on Sirius XM, and you talked about after a season taking a real close look, and you had a successful year, and you took a real inward approach about what can I do better personally to make life easier for my staff, my family. We just talked about it, my players, everything else. And you were really open about that, which I thought was fascinating, because a lot of folks, you know, we all take inventory of what we're doing, but you were open about it to talk about it on the national radio show. And I, you know, I watch you guys every week like everybody else does, and there really is a noticeable difference from the outside of being us watching you on game day in terms of demeanor and approach, and it seems like your team is too. And you've now gone back to back to back with 10-plus wins, looking to make that four in a row and so forth and get into a college football playoff. Was that a turning point for you personally and professionally? Because your teams and your program really have taken off since that conversation.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at, you know, any business, any organization that's had success, I think there always comes a time where, you know, you have to pivot and you have to look at, you know, how can we continue to do this? This is my 30th year of being a head football coach. I've had a lot of success to get to this point, but that doesn't mean that's going to sustain itself if you don't look inwardly and find out ways that you can continue to work to get better. And I think one of the areas that I had to look at is the performance of our football team after the 2016 season. We were 4-8 and lost 7 games in the fourth quarter. And a lot of that had to do with the leadership, starting for me, and the mental preparedness of our football team. So I gave up play calling, turned that over to an offensive coordinator, and really focused on the mental preparation of our football team. If you look at total preparation, right, everybody looks at the weight room and nutrition and rest and all of those things. That's important, physical. the technical is important, right? Skill development, the tactical, all those guys working together. But the mental performance is equally as important. And so I've really focused my time and my energies on the mental performance of our football team, which requires individual time with your players and spending a lot of time. And that's really been where I've pivoted and I've changed. And so I'm responsible for that mental performance of our football team.
Coach, last week, prior to the Duke ball game, a lot of discussion, obviously, about, you know, some of your defensive stars, things of that nature. Also, a lot of discussion about Ian Book and where he fits in Notre Dame's quarterbacking history. But Tommy Rees got a lot of attention, who was your new offensive coordinator. And yet Kyren Williams is the guy who we're now all talking about this week from what he did. Must have been a nice surprise, or maybe it wasn't a surprise at all for you and your staff to see Williams perform as well.
Well, you never really know, right? I mean, certainly we felt like, you know, going into the game that he had the ability to impact it. But you don't know going against each other. And so we're certainly pleased. Here's a great job of him following his blockers. He's got, you know, a really good sense about him. He can block out of the backfield. He can catch the football. You can see him. He's here on the screen. Runs out of gas at the end here. But again, I think a guy that's multidimensional can do a lot of things for your football team. But again, you don't know until you get him in the game. Here, great balance on the goal line, upended in the backfield. We got to work on this a little bit. You know, he's got to flip that ball to the back judge and celebrate with his teammates. But he's a young kid. He's only going to get better. He's going to read the inside zone better, the outside zone better, but we're excited about his future.
Coach, last year in the ACC, there was a guy at Clemson by name of Isaiah Simmons who would make plays 60 yards downfield. Then the next possession, you'd see him at the line of scrimmage. You're like, goodness gracious, the guy is everywhere. You've got that kind of guy with Kyle Hamilton, and I hated to see him go down with the injury, and I know you mentioned he got a boot, and you know he'll be back. But
yep.
Man, the dimension he gives you on the defensive side, where he can be anywhere on the field and is going to make a play, he is really an incredible talent.
Really impressed with his development, both on and off the field, as a leader too. You know, here's a young player that at 6'4" can go down in the box. Play with the kind of, you know, obviously physicality that you need, but has the range and the athleticism to play off the hash. Here's just a great play of extending and making a great play against the tight end that we knew that had to be part of their game plan. So he picks up on those little kind of nuances of the game plan as well. Just a really smart, savvy player that, again, is all over the field and just can't. Here's a guy that you're just excited, like you mentioned, Isaiah. Here's a guy you're excited to watch play on Saturdays.
Yeah, he's a player, no doubt.
Yeah. I know South Florida comes in this week. You get the win against Duke. You got Wake Forest the following week before you get a bye. Jeff Scott's team obviously got off to a good start last week. They're a new addition to the schedule to replace, I think, Western Michigan, who was one of your original non-conference in the plus ones.
Right.
Preparation's got to be a huge challenge here, especially with just one game under their belt. So you got to look at what Clemson tape. You got to look at a lot of different tape, I'm guessing, of different places to try and put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah, this is kind of normal territory as an independent. We get this quite a bit where, you know, we're not sure with the first time opponent what we're going to get. So we dig into the archives. More FAU film, right? Because, you know, we're seeing Glenn Spencer, the defensive coordinator who worked at FAU last year. So we're trying to get a good sense of him because they played the Citadel. So triple option doesn't really give you much in terms of defensive structure. So we'll look at Glenn's film quite a bit. You know, Charlie Weiss Jr. is the offensive coordinator. So you go back to FAU a little bit, right? Too. Watch a little bit of Clemson. But I think it's more, you know, watching FAU film for the most part, a little bit of South Florida for personnel and knowing what kind of personnel. But it's like anything else. This will come down to our preparation, the way that we handle it, our attitude, the way we go about our business this week as we go into game day.
Coach, I know you've played a handful of ACC teams now for the last couple of years with this arrangement, but this year being in a conference, I know we've only played one game, but does it feel different or is it just too early to call?
It's a little bit different because our guys know that they got a chance to play for an ACC championship as well. So, you know, each ACC game brings a little bit more to the table from that perspective. Playing this Duke team this past weekend, I don't know if you guys were able to watch it at all, but the quarterback for Duke, Bryce, I mean, we knocked him down more times than I can remember a quarterback, and he just kept getting up. I mean, the quarterback play in this league this year, I don't know that you're going to find a league that has better quarterback play from top to bottom. It's amazing. And this kid, the toughness that he showed, Duke's going to be a really good football team. So I just think that from top to bottom, our guys know that the challenges that they're going to get week in and week out in the ACC are going to be very, very difficult. And I think that opener for us kind of just set the stage for what it's going to be like this year.
Mm, good point. Hey, Coach, next time we send the invitation, we won't mail it. We'll email.
Well, I know it's a tight budget, so it came U.S. Postal Service, so we got it 7 days late. But it's great to be on the show, and you guys do such a great job for, you know, the ACC and certainly, you know, giving the student-athletes a voice too. You guys have been amazing. I want to say that in all honesty. It doesn't happen in a lot of networks, and thanks for doing that. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, we appreciate it. We look forward to having some of your kids join us as the fall unfolds, and appreciate your time today.
Take care, guys. Good seeing you.
All right. You bet. Brian Kelly, head football coach at Notre Dame. Always fun to visit with, and great to have him on our program here today, Pac.
Yeah, and I thought his answer about does it feel any different was an interesting one. And, you know, he went immediately to quarterback play. Wes, we have talked about this a lot on the show before the season started. And I'm going to get on my high horse a second. I've been preaching that this league's collection of quarterbacks is by far better than everybody else in the country. And I'm going to include the Big Ten and the Pac-12. We're going through an up cycle, right? You go through highs and lows with quarterback play when you start talking about a conference. But this particular year, why it was so important for the ACC to play in 2020, you've got the best collection of quarterbacks, and you've got to have one to have success in college football. So if everybody could stay upright and healthy, I think the league's going to have a really, really good year.
We'll come back and close the program. By the way, quick reminder to you that tonight at 7:00 on the ACC Network Instagram account, Pac, Roddy Jones and I will preview all of the Saturday action in the Atlantic Coast Conference and take your questions and answer some questions along the way. So go to the ACC Network Instagram account. It's called IG Live, Pac. That's what the kids call it. So we'll be doing it live on the gram tonight, Pac, at 7:00, right after your radio shows are. Maybe you want to dial over, ask Roddy a question about the weekend, that kind of thing.
If you don't mind,
we'll be
on the
ACC Network Instagram.
If you don't mind, I'm going to have dinner with my wife at 7:01 p.m. after a full day. But I'll play catch-up with you on IG, okay?
Thanks. IG. We're going to do it live on the gram. 7:00 tonight, Roddy Jones and I will take your questions about the weekend ahead in ACC football. And we'll do it about 20, 30 minutes or so tonight at 7 p.m.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Fun show today. Interesting show. All over the place with guests. And started with Pat Narduzzi and ended with Brian Kelly and a bunch of interesting stuff in between. Wes, but we let off the show this morning bragging about academics. And the ACC lapped the field again. And this is really of no surprise if you pay attention to this stuff. And you should, because it's important to us in this league. But academically, the U.S. News and World Report came out with the best colleges. And, I mean, it was really just a domination. When you put a list of who's who, where you're ranked, are you getting the job done in the classroom? The ACC, spectacular performance.
The ACC has, look at this, in the top 50 alone, 7 schools. By the way, you think Carolina Wake would like to break that tie, Pack?
Well, I'll tell you what.
BC, Georgia Tech, they'd probably like to break the tie at 35, I think.
Well, I'd hate to break the news to you. Georgia Tech's on that list, too, so that makes 8 in the top 50.
Yeah.
But yeah, nevertheless,
eight in the top 50, right?
Eight in the top 50. The Big Ten's got four in the top 50. And again, a great academic collection of institutions as well. Pac-12's got four. SEC has three. And the Big 12 was able to connect with one. But I told you that 13 of the 14 ACC schools are ranked in the top 80 in the country. And that is an incredible job. Great testament to the quality of academics in this league from top to bottom. And we talk about championships and coaches and players winning games and all that stuff, which is really impressive. But you get the full deal in this league from an academic and athletic standpoint. And that's what separates the ACC from everybody else.
Did you tell me where Emerson College, Drew Brooks' alma mater was? I know Josh Macri's in that group of ACC schools.
I did not look up Emerson, but I gave you props leading off the show today because your alma mater, Elon,
that's right,
was ranked 88th. And I pointed that out by saying that your boys are ranked in front of 10 SEC schools. There are 10 SEC schools in Elon's rearview mirror at the 88 spot. So, again, this is an ACC network. This is what we talk about on this channel exclusively. But the conference, again, tip of the hat. Great job academically. And, again, as we try to figure out what our athletic world is going to look like, folks have done an incredible job in terms of the presidents in this league, just getting kids back on the classroom and on this studies and going to class. And I know the virtual thing's been going on. It's just been, it's been crazy for everybody, but I just want to do a shout out today with that, because it's what we do on this channel.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC network, Sirius XM channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.